Hey, what's going on, everybody? You're listening to Segi Station. This man has a nickname, always ought to say with no shame. Monday, March 29th, 2021. Hope all is well out there, everybody. Hope everyone's staying safe. Nick Seguin here. You're listening to Segi Station Podcast. I got some company coming through today as well. My dude, Chew Smats the Stats Kid, will be here in about 15 minutes in studio. And as always, via StreamYard, my man Rich Hot Takes Letty will be coming through to talk some sports today. Tons to get into. Got Madness, March Madness, Elite Eight in both the men's and women's tournaments. NBA trade deadline has passed. NBA buyout buzz is certainly there. And the NFL is certainly trying to steal the headlines with the latest news over the weekend coming out of the NFL, with exactly 1 month from today until the NFL draft. Sports absolutely popping off. Looking forward to catching up with my two friends in that regard. Going to try things a little bit different today. Also looking to get a post up for my own giveaway in connection with my friend Shayna Rally and her foundation, Bree Rally Foundation. So looking to do my own giveaway. Stay tuned for the details and rules on that. Hopefully all y'all that follow along will participate in order to receive a gift from myself. As I mentioned, sports world is absolutely jam-packed. Got a bunch of topics to touch on today on the podcast. Looking forward to doing it here momentarily. Right now, it's time for Straight Talk. Brought to you by Segi Straight Talk Microphone. It's always direct. Time to reflect. As always, appreciate all love and support for the podcast. Follow along on my Instagram or Twitter page, at Segi Station. Always got a live version of the podcast up on my Twitch stream. It's _Segi_G. And still got the podcast out on Podbean, Spotify, a few other platforms. Hopefully you get your podcast there. All the love and support means the world to me as always. Looking forward to catching up with the boys here. A lot going on in the world of sports. Feeling pretty good. Weather finally warming up. Definitely should be a good show today. Looking forward to it. Ah, what's good, boys? What's good, Chew?
Oh, what's going on, everyone? It's Smats the Stats Kid coming back at you after a week hiatus. Let's see. Steve Cohen took Francisco Lindor out to dinner the other night. Steve got the ravioli. He said the sauce was so-so. Francisco Lindor, I believe he got the chicken parm and really enjoyed the chicken parm, which is good.
And then pass. I'm allowed to say that here, right? Pass. Move on. That's what we're doing today, right?
All right, see you, pal. Hey, baseball opening day this week. Rich is here too. Good way to start the pod today for sure. It's not pass. It's keep it moving or
keep it moving. That's what it was. My bad.
Keep it moving or hit the brakes. That's how we're doing it today. What's good, Rich? Already derogatory on the pod towards my friend.
I'm just messing with Smats. I know he has to start with his Mets stuff. Yeah. I saw Lindor was on the cover of the my dad still gets the Sports Illustrated. Lindor was on the copy of the Sports Illustrated last week or so that was pretty dope.
Yeah, I read that article. It was a great article. My coworker still gets Sports Illustrated sent to his parents' house after like 10 years from moving out from there. And he's like, yo, you want this article? And I was like, yeah, I'll take it.
Yep. Love sweet. It. Love it, boys. A lot going on in sports. So I want to do as much as I can. I'll read off some topics, and if you guys want to say something about it, I got a timer. We'll hit the break, so I'll let you speak on it. If not, I'll give you my little solo burst, and we'll keep it moving. You guys have been watching March Madness. How are your brackets doing in the Segi Station Bracket Challenge? Smats says hit the brakes. What's good?
All right, so if you've been listening to the podcast, you already know my bracket was busted after the first day. It was fun. I picked UConn for some odd reason. But other than that, my mom's in the tournament, and she has three of her four Final Four teams left.
That's great.
She has Michigan beating Arkansas in the finals, and she's got Gonzaga making it, too. The only team she didn't pick was in the top right bracket where the Fightin' Sister Jeans were.
Yep.
She had them going pretty far. But other than that, she's been killing it. I got to just double-check everything, but I'm really hoping my mom wins this because that would be a lot of fun.
Rich, you got to hit the brakes on this one. How's your bracket doing? You in the bottom of the challenge?
Pretty well, actually. I was in before the Michigan game yesterday, I was in first in both the leagues I was in, but I unfortunately had Florida State beating Michigan. That would have been a huge win for me, but I didn't get that. But I told you last time when we were on here, the three things I needed to happen in order for my bracket to win in your league and my other league. I need Gonzaga to win it all. I need Arkansas to make the Final Four, which is still there. I needed Alabama not to make the Final Four, which already happened. And I need Houston not to make the finals. So really just need Houston not to make the finals, Arkansas Final Four, Gonzaga to win it all. I'm really pissed. I initially had Houston beating Illinois and then fucked it up around and put Illinois winning, going to the finals. But whatever, is what it is. I still got a shot.
So quick shout out to my pops, who looks like he's going to win the league. Also,
yeah, our parents are
crushing. My brother has a chance with Houston as well. Wait. Up there, still in there. My brother keep telling me, but he's up there as well.
We also can't
shout out to my dude Ken. Ken's up there in first place.
Ken's in first right now.
I saw him this past week. And also, just wanted to mention that when I look at the brackets and everything that happened, there's a few things that got shaken out from some of the games. So I just wanted to see if you guys want to touch on this. Max Asmus, is he going to be Steph Curry? Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes.
So the reason why I ask you guys this, because he joins Steph Curry as the only player to have 25 straight or three straight games of 25 plus points in his first three NCAA games. Oral Roberts was looking to be the first 15 seed to make an Elite Eight appearance. They fell short. They lost the game 72-70. Max Asmus, I thought he was about to hit that game winner. I think one of the best Sweet 16 games, as a couple of them were blowouts. But I'm just curious if you think his game can translate to what we kind of saw to Steph Curry at Davidson.
Yeah, I just want to get this. It's tough. You can't say he's going to be the next Steph Curry. He transcended the game with what he did. But there are some parallels in what you saw in March Madness. And I'm just happy. I'm excited that he kind of gets the spotlight he deserves. He led the nation in scoring, and no one knew who he was. And they went on this great run. It would have been great if they could have won one more game, give him a little more exposure. But I think it's great for his future, because before this, who even knew who he was? And now we're all talking about him. So it's exciting in that sense. Hopefully his game can transcend to the next level. We'll have to see how it goes.
Rich?
Yeah, I mean, I almost don't feel right really commenting on it, because I don't know enough about him other than seeing him a few games. But I just highly doubt that. The odds are not in your favor when you're a 6'1", smaller guy that went to a smaller school. But, I mean, Steph Curry's a good comparison. The thing is, he's the exception, not the rule, so I'll never expect anyone to be Steph Curry.
But what about guys like CJ McCollum?
I don't see him anywhere on the NBA mock drafts right now, so he seems like a guy that probably have to prove himself in the G League, get like a two-way contract, maybe something like that. But hey, it would be good to see. It's hard to say he's going to be the next Steph Curry, though, because Steph Curry was like a top prospect still, and this guy's not even like a second round projected pick right now.
So
well, with Steph Curry, he did that all in his sophomore year, and then he came back for his junior year and balled out again, and then that got drafted out.
Here's my
thing
on Max Asmus. I'm not saying he's gonna be Steph Curry, but I do see a lot of comparisons to what Steph Curry does, which is shoot deep range.
Yep.
And realistically, ball handles
fast,
shoot deep range fast, and he's small.
Yeah.
He's a small guy. So we're talking about Fats being able to make it. I saw transfer portal with Fats, over 2,000 plus players projected to enter this transfer portal. Something to either keep it moving or hit the brakes. But we'll save that for another day. That's down the line. Just getting back to the bracket, I just want to touch on this. Zags, USC. You got three Pac-12 teams in the Elite Eight. USC, UCLA.
Unreal.
And
Oregon State.
Now, let me give you a few stats on this. Oregon State was picked last in the Pac-12 preseason media poll. They did get the auto bid by winning the Pac-12. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been in the tournament. They've won six straight games. They tied Missouri in 2002 as the lowest seed to reach the Elite Eight since 1999. They took down Loyola Chicago, which Shu mentioned a little bit. I think they should make the logo Sister Jean. I hope that gets out to, like, actually ESPN, because I think that'd be legit. Like, we're seeing her everywhere. I'm seeing prop bets on it. I'm seeing pictures of her. And what's better than a sweet old lady as a mascot? Like, I think that's a great idea. Keep it moving and hit the brakes on that one, boys.
I got to hit the brakes just because, not even about Sister Jean. She's awesome. But we need to give a shout-out. I don't even know his name, but the 102-year-old fan of Oregon State.
Yep.
We got another one. So shout-out to him. That's really all I wanted to say.
Rich, you...
Keep it moving.
Rich says keep it moving. Love to hear it. I think that's a good take. We'll see if that actually happens. I doubt it. So Baylor over Nova. We mentioned Arkansas over Oral Roberts. Houston cruises past Q's. Buddy Boeheim, that went a little bit sideways. First time being in the Elite Eight for Houston since 1984. Zags remain undefeated. 29-0, 26 straight wins by double digits. They take down Creighton 83-65. Second straight Elite Eight appearance. Fourth Elite Eight appearance in the past six tournaments. You guys think the Zags can get it done? Last undefeated team all the way through, 1976. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes. I didn't watch much college basketball all year prior to March Madness, honestly. Watched a few of the conference tournaments. But I think Gonzaga, from what I've seen by far, you know, like watching, like most of us has, like maybe 3-4 games of each team by now over the last week or so. I think Gonzaga looks like by far the best team. That's not a hot take. They're projected like, I think 33% of people pick them to win. A lot of analysts pick them to win everything. But I think they look like the clear favorite right now. Like if I was redoing the bracket again right now after actually watching these teams and actually knowing some stuff, there's no way I could pick against Gonzaga, even knowing how many people would pick them.
Yeah, I agree. I would watch out for USC, though, who took care of Oregon. It was the first meeting between Pac-12 teams in this tournament. As I mentioned, three Pac-12 teams in the Elite Eight. Evan Mobley's the real deal. I think USC has a chance. If anybody's taking him down, I think it's USC. So watch out. You got Elite Eight games, not only on the men's side, but the women's side tonight. I do need to touch on that quickly. Now, Chew, I got to ask you here. Keep it moving and hit the brakes. I got a reason why I think there's a lot of discrepancy between men's and women's basketball. And we've talked plenty of college sports here on the podcast. I saw an interesting stat where, obviously, this has been coming up with, obviously, the pictures that surfaced. But I saw that they're doing an investigation and $13.5 million tournament budget gap between the men's and women's tournament in 2019, nearly double. But I do have a theory. I do have a theory for this, and I'm interested if you want to hit the brakes on this one or Rich to hear my take on this. If not, we can keep it moving. I'll save it for a solo. And
hit the brakes. Go for it.
Love it. So I need to confirm this with you guys real quick before I give you this take. Were the men's and women's games always played on the same day? Like the same day? I don't think so. Like I've watched a good amount of college basketball, and I feel like I used to watch the men's tournament, and then the women's tournament would be like different days, if that makes sense.
I believe
not on the same day.
I believe
didn't the women's tournament start a day later or something?
Right now you got UConn playing tonight, 7 o'clock on ESPN, with men's Elite Eight basketball. What? Here's the thing. Why, as a sports fan, should I have to decide what I want to watch there? Like, I want to watch UConn, but I also want to watch the men's tournament. Why are these games on the same time? This is a blunder again by the NCAA. This is exactly why this is happening. The budget gaps, the discrepancies, the ratings and revenues, why are they on the same time? That makes zero sense to me. Massive blunder by the NCAA on top of all the blunders that happen, obviously, with them in the workout pictures and food and packages. But this is ridiculous to me.
Yeah, it looks like, I'm looking at the schedule now, it looks like they split it up for the Final Four and championship games, so they're staggered, but... There's no reason to have, I agree with everything you said, I don't have much to add. There's no reason to have both of them playing tonight, both of them playing tomorrow, and then have 2 days off with no basketball.
Crazy.
Where you could have just staggered them still. So yeah, I'd imagine the answer, I don't know this, has to do something with them being in the bubble and needing to get things done.
Dude, I don't want to hear that.
I don't know. I'd assume there's some answer because they want ratings too. Like I get the women do get fucked a lot of the time with, we saw it with the gym stuff like that. But I don't see any reason why they wouldn't want people tuning in to like a UConn game, the biggest women's game of the year. I'd imagine there has to be some reason. I don't know what it is.
Now I have to flip back and forth tonight.
You guys hit the nail on the head. They absolutely botched it in this. I think Rich does bring up a good point with probably the bubble as a reason why this happened, but you have a fantastic matchup the other day between Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers, and you're not able to watch it because there's men's games on at the same time. I mean, you have to make a choice, and it's tough. it's again another horrible move by the NCAA. They show time in, time out, why they suck. Let's keep it moving.
I'm going to cap it off here and get out of the NCAA. You got USC, as I mentioned, third Elite Eight appearance all time. UCLA, first one back in the Elite Eight since 2008. We all know their historic state in the game. Mick Cronin, UCLA becomes just the second to make the Elite Eight from the first four, joining VCU in 2011. Michigan, as Chu talked about, looking good. Fourth Elite Eight appearance since 2013, and obviously with Juwan Howard. Just a quick update on the women's bracket. Number six, Texas, outduels number two, Maryland, for an upset 64-61 to reach the Elite Eight. They will face South Carolina. Mentioned UConn versus Baylor tonight, who both took care of their matchups in the Sweet 16. And you'll have Indiana and Arizona facing off, both making their first appearance in program history to the Elite Eight. So plenty to catch up on in college basketball. Let's switch out of that and switch into some other topics. Rich, Chu, keep it moving, hit the brakes. I saw over the weekend in the NFL that Adam Schefter and the NFL is expecting to expand the regular season schedule to 17 games. I think this is a big deal. I think this is something where you have Alvin Kamara coming out and saying, oh, shit, this is dumb as hell. Well, the players agreed to this in the CBA. But on the other side of this horse, an extra game. I get two preseason games are expected to come out of this. But an extra regular season game, wear and tear on these guys' bodies, obviously impacting the records, standings, expanding the playoffs last year as well. Something to follow up on, I think, with the NFL having some other big news as well throughout the week. Guess you guys want to keep it moving, so we'll keep it moving. Beep. That's a big zip. All right, boys, so there was a big trade in the NFL with some draft picks. Maybe you guys want to
hit
the brakes for this one. All right, here we go, Chu. Love to hear it. So I'm not sure what the Eagles are doing here. The Dolphins, incredible. And the Niners acquire the 3 pick all on the same day. I mean, you're talking about NBA trade deadline was absolutely stealing the sports world news, Rich. And then a day later, the NFL is like, nope, yeah, watch this. Hold my beer. Here's Niners to the 3, Eagles to then the 12, behind my Giants. I know Duke is cringing somewhere right now in Connecticut. And then Dolphins somehow make it back to 6. Stacking up all these picks. Chu says hit the brakes. What's good here, Chu?
Eagles are so dumb. Oh, my God. You look at what San Francisco did. They clearly like a quarterback at the top half of the draft. They're going to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo at some point. I think it's a good move for them. Then they can kind of build up on their defense when you have Kyle Shanahan, best play caller in the game. If you have a rookie quarterback or a quarterback on a rookie contract who's good, they're going to be in a good spot. But I can't get over what the Eagles are doing here. You've botched it in the last few drafts. You wanted to trade up to get a quarterback. That failed. So now Jalen Hurts is even more pissed, showing you don't believe in him. They've just completely screwed it. Howie Roseman is an idiot. I can't believe Jeffrey Lurie picked him over John Dorsey. You see what he's done first in Kansas City and now with Cleveland. They clearly screwed that up, and it's going to be hard for Eagles fans to watch after.
You got the Niners taking a QB at 3?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Here's a little update on the trade. I think Rich wants to keep it moving here. A little update on this trade for you, though, Rich, which was a blockbuster deal with massive ramifications. The Dolphins traded the number 3 overall pick to San Francisco for the number 12 pick, a 2021 third-round pick, and San Fran's comp pick for the first round picks in 2022 and 2023. Just stacking up the picks. I mean, you go look at what Miami's done since Brian Flores has been there. In 2021, this upcoming draft, they have the 6th overall pick, 18 in the second round. They have 36 and 50 and 81 in the third round. Those are premium picks to have. He's got a first round from San Francisco in 2022 and a first round pick from San Francisco in 2023. I mean, Dolphins and Austin Boulay, big shout out here. Incredible stuff. And the Niners clearly looking to do something else than Jimmy G. But how crazy would it be if they didn't take a quarterback after moving up? I've been seeing some reports on that as well. Just crazy. We're just going to have to follow and see how this trade goes. see if there's any more trades. And obviously, 1 month from today, from the NFL draft, we'll keep it moving. Deshaun Watson's in some heat, boys. You want me to keep it moving or hit the brakes on this one? But I did see that three more women have filed civil suits against Deshaun Watson, alleging sexual misconduct by the QB. The total number of lawsuits is now at 19. 19. Not ideal. That's a big, I hit the wrong button there, because that's not good for Deshaun Watson. We'll wait and see the news on that. Had a few more in the NFL, but let's switch to a couple I had in the NBA, which was, want to clean this up for the podcast real quick. Woj, final tally on NBA deadline day. Rich, per the league, was 16 trades. I don't know why I had 17, but I guess some of this comes in a little late, so they got to update it for us. 16 trades, 23 teams, 46 roster players, most in each category in the past 35 years on deadline day for the NBA, which was a wild deadline day. We came in and did a little pod, Rich and I. Chu, obviously, you haven't been here for any of the trade deadline updates. You got any comment on any of that went down? Keep it moving, hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Let's see it.
Yeah, I just think it's very interesting. I didn't know those were the numbers, and it was the most. Did you say 35 years?
Yes, sir.
I think it just goes to show in the atmosphere of what the game is today with less fans in the stands. We saw it in the playoffs last year. And just, it's kind of wide open this year. Yeah, you have Brooklyn in the East and some really good teams in the East and West, but it's more open than it's been in the past few years, I feel like. So teams are going for it. And it's exciting to see. I think there were a lot of good moves made, and I'm excited to see the rest of this playoff, or I mean, regular season to playoffs.
Rich, you got any comment on what we already discussed with the NBA trade updates, or are we going to keep it moving with some more of these NBA topics?
I mean, just in general, I think Chu nailed it right there. It's open this year. The Nets are the favorite, but I think there's some question marks around the Nets, too. Like, people are acting like the Nets are a super team, just to be clear, but people are acting like they're a super team because of the new additions of Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge, and that's just not the case. The questions with the Nets are like, how are you going to play all these guys? Are they going to be happy with their reduced roles of like seventh and eighth man in those two? Is Durant going to be back? And like the Lakers have questions. So it's kind of open, like you said. So many teams going for it. I was shocked to see the Lakers not push for Lowry more, or another team, and the Mavericks or the Heat not push for Lowry more. I guess the Heat got their trade in Oladipo, but it's open this year, so lots of trades. It was fun to see.
Yeah, it was definitely a wild trade deadline day, and going forward, I think seeing how some of these moves pay off for some of these teams into the second half of the season, which is compacted, is going to be interesting to see with obviously some guys, big guys injured across the league as well. Let's see. Should have a bell here any second. Yes, we do. We'll touch on a few of these guys. We'll see if you guys want to hit the brakes on this. Buyout buzz has been heavy. LaMarcus Aldridge to the Nets. After I saw and reported on my podcast that he went to the Heat, because I saw that. So I don't know how that happens, but he ends up on the Nets.
He's likely to sign with the Heat.
He's averaging 13.7 points per game, 4.5 assists per game with his 21 games with the Spurs this year. He joins the Brooklyn Nets on a one-year veteran minimum. 31-15 are the Brooklyn Nets, number two in the East. You guys got anything to say on LaMarcus Aldridge joining the Nets?
Keep it moving.
I'll hit the brakes on this one just real quick. A lot of people saying that what I touched on before, they're a super team because of this. I think people get so attached to the names of guys. The Nets are very clearly a super team because of Kyrie and Kevin Durant and James Harden. They were a super team to start the year. They might be marginally better than TLC playing, some of these guys playing, but I think it literally could end up being a problem. Like with what I was saying in the beginning of the year, we weren't sure how they were going to play together. Then it seemed like the three of those guys were playing fine, but like I don't know. Are Blake and Aldridge going to be fine with their role? Because to me, if anyone who's watched Brooklyn Nets games recently, Jeff Green and Nicholas Claxton are better players than, in terms of what the Brooklyn Nets need them to do, the roles they need them to play of defense and spot up and hit a three, then Aldridge, then DeAndre Jordan, then Blake Griffin. Can you have Aldridge, DeAndre Jordan, and Blake Griffin on your bench at the end of every game? Because your best lineup is with the three of those guys on your bench, which is the reason I don't think they make them more of a super team than they were. They're a good team. They might make them marginally better, but your best lineup has DeAndre Jordan, Aldridge, and Blake Griffin on your bench at the end of games, in my mind, and what I think they'll have going forward.
No, I completely agree, Rich, and I'd ask you this as well. Have we ever seen a team with 41 All-Star appearances make the finals?
Yeah. That's nuts.
No.
I don't think
that's a thing. That much star power together doesn't tend to work out. Yeah, I'd also ask you this. I mean, you could check it up. I heard Shannon and Skip arguing about it today. I'd also ask you this, though. Like, for me, before James Harden got there, and then when James Harden got there, to me, you're not any more scared of this team because they went and added Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge. That's just the way I feel about it. That's the way you kind of sounded about it last week, Rich. And I don't want to think that LaMarcus Aldridge is taking this team over the top, obviously getting some buyout buzz. This is also getting some buyout buzz, Rich, too. Drummond to the Lakers. I said it here a few times that I thought that would be a big move for the Lakers, and I'm curious if you want to hit the brakes or keep it moving here on my guy, Andre Drummond. I've been seeing a lot of hate on Andre Drummond, Rich. I just want to clean something up for you real quick on my man. He is averaging 17 points per game, 13 rebounds a game this season, 25 game with the Cavs, obviously been shut down. 31% usage rate, which I was hearing Skip getting real upset about. It's like, dude, he's the best player on the Cavs. Chill. Why I think this is going to matter, Rich, and why I think Andre Drummond is a significant upgrade than LaMarcus Aldridge or Blake Griffin is Andre Drummond. He has 44 20-20 games since he's entered the league in 2012-2013. The next closest has 15, Rich. The next closest has 15. This dude is, I think, the best rebounder we've seen in the past decade, nearly, in this league. And comparing that and teaming that up with LeBron James if he's healthy, and Anthony Davis if he can make it back, with Dennis Schroeder and KCP, I'd ask you this question. All full strength, which team is better, the Nets or Lakers? Because they got some buyout guys. They got some guys via trade. It's what's being talked about right now. And I'd argue that you can't take up what James Harden is doing, but what these other guys aren't being on the court yet, we got to wait and see. Like, James Harden, in my opinion, is doing what he's doing right now, what he was doing in Houston, which was being a one-man show. That's why, in my opinion, the only reason he's in the fucking MVP talk.
Tyree missed last week.
Seriously, though. Like, okay, once these guys come back, is James Harden going to be able to do what he's doing? Like, he wasn't able to do what...
We switched so many topics.
I know. Go ahead.
Drummond
to the Lakers.
So I've been hard on Drummond in the past. I agree with half of what you said. I disagree with the other half. I think Drummond's a better add than Aldridge or Blake Griffin because Drummond's, I don't know, if not in his prime, close to his prime, still like... what Andre Drummond is, as far as we know, what he's been this year on the Cavs. The problem with Andre Drummond is if you look at the box score, everything looks great. But when Andre Drummond's had his problems is when you ask him to play a more reduced role, when you bring in another center playing some minutes and the dude starts pouting, not playing defense, walking up the courts. The Lakers don't get me wrong, like while AD and LeBron are out, like they will take any 20-20 Andre Drummond performance they could get. But the Lakers do not need Andre Drummond getting the ball on offense when he's in there, aside from like him getting the rebound and put it back. And he's had a problem with that throughout his career. So it really just comes down to like, is he going to buy in under LeBron, like be a championship kind of guy and like buy into what the team needs? If so, then he's an incredible ad. He's literally the best rebounder in the game. If he's going to bitch about needing the ball, then he's a terrible ad because you should not be giving Andre Drummond the ball in the post. I'd agree with Skip on that. Colin Sexton, Darius Garland, a million people on the Cavs should get the ball on offense before Andre Drummond. He is a get the rebound, put it back, set some screens guy, and he's had a problem with that throughout his career, and he pouts when he doesn't get it more.
I think it's interesting for sure, but I just wanted to drop this quick nugget. The 1981-82 Lakers did have 41 All-Stars on their team combined. The 1981-82 Lakers, who won the ring, they had 41 All-Stars.
I was going to guess the 2003 Lakers with Gary Payton and Karl Malone and Kobe and Shaq.
Yeah, they'll probably have even more. I'll check that out after, but I just wanted to say they had 41.
Just to clean that up, KD, 11-time All-Star, Harden, 9-time All-Star, Kyrie, 7-time All-Star, Aldridge, 7-time All-Star, Blake, 6-time All-Star. 40 All-Star appearances amongst the team.
And Joe Harris is still the fourth best player on that team.
Correct. With Joe Harris, Bruce Brown, Nicholas Claxton, Jeff Green, and DeAndre Jordan, the Nets are coming in. See what they can do. Boy, Zion Williamson is turning into Shaq at point guard. Keep it moving or hit the bricks.
I don't know where we're going with it. Sure. Well, say what you got to say, and then I'll decide.
Rich says, hit the bricks with a shirt. A shaw. Rich, back-to-back nights, 38-5-6, 13-20, or 13-20 field goals, loss, unfortunately. The next night, 39-10-5, 6-19 field goals, 20-25 is the Pelicans, 12th in the West. But this man Zion, he's scoring at such an efficient rate. And I'll give you this, Rich, because we've had the Zion Ja debate plenty of times. The reason why I like Ja way more is because it was Ja's team. Like, Zion was on the team, but it wasn't necessarily his team. Not any longer. They're running this team specifically through Zion. We're not hearing too much about Brandon Ingram. Zion Williamson is having one of the most efficient seasons in NBA history. You can go stack this up against Kareem, McHale, Shaq, and he's also doing it scoring big-time points now, putting up more assists, which is something I knocked him on because he's playing more of this point guard facilitator role. And I got to give the Pelicans a lot of credit for what they're doing with Zion, even though it's not paying off in terms of wins and record and standing. They still have a chance to at least make the play-in. It'll be interesting, though, because I do think Grizzlies are still above the Pelicans. And now this battle between Zion and Ja is a real thing for me with Zion getting more of the team, something I'm following a lot closer. But Zion is balling out, and I didn't expect him to be doing what he was doing just a few weeks after me calling him out.
I don't have too much more to add, but they should have made it the Zion show earlier than they did. Ingram had a great year last year, so I think they were a little hesitant, or maybe he's coming off Zion's injury in the offseason. I don't know, but they've been running through Zion. We'll see if they could climb into the playoffs. If they could climb into the playoffs, Zion playing like this, I think it's hard to say. Not to say Ja isn't better than him, but it's hard to really say one's significantly better than the other to me. I think it's pretty close.
It's getting closer. Yep.
Oh, yeah, you guys nailed it. I just wanted to say that team that did lose, the 03-04 Lakers, had 54 All-Stars.
Okay.
Chewy's stuck on the All-Star comment that I made just because I was like going with the Shannon Sharp take that I heard this morning. I want to ask you, boys, keep it moving and hit the brakes. If you played 44 minutes in an NBA game, could you score a point?
Hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes. What? Love it. PJ Washington, in 44 minutes yesterday, had 0 points, 0-7 field goals, 0-4 from three, 0-2 from the free throw line. That's the most scoreless minutes by a player with at least one free throw attempt since 1983. Which, by the way, I've taken this man in DraftKings before, PJ Washington. No more! No more, pal. That is embarrassing. If I got 44 minutes in an NBA game, I can score a point. I'm telling you. I'm not that great of a basketball player, but I'm telling you. I think I can score 1 point if I got 44 minutes. Like a dude, like Mike situation where I got one game off the bench, 44 minutes. Bro, give me the ball. I'm going to score one time if I'm getting that many shots. That's a lot of shots. For a key player to not score. Sorry, boys. Had a rant there. What's good? Can you guys score?
What'd you say? 0-7?
Yeah, he missed four threes.
Like what I'd probably put up. 0-7. I would not.
He got two free throws. You couldn't hit a free throw?
Have you ever seen me shoot a free throw?
I mean,
Rich, what's good here, bro?
That's so tough. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but I know he averages like somewhere from like 14 to like 16 points interesting. A game, I would imagine. So that's the very off night. If you put me in 10 NBA games and played me 44 games a night in all 10 of them, I would put up a bunch of scoreless nights in those because I'm playing against fucking NBA players. And the last time I played competitive basketball was JV at HK or like in college. Like we are anyone who did not play D1 college basketball is going scoreless more games than they're not in an NBA game.
Yes, I agree. But I still think I could score a bucket.
We'll score in some, of course.
I still think I could score a bucket.
You're going to hit a three if you're putting up seven shots and playing a bunch of games. But in one game, there's a good game. You go, good chance you go scoreless.
True. All right, I got a good amount more in the NBA. We'll see if you guys want to keep it moving and hit the brakes. As Jalen Rose is on, probably going hype right now on the Michigan team. Love it. De'Aaron Fox is a star. Keep it moving and hit the brakes.
Keep it moving.
We've we've hit on a lot of stuff. We can keep it moving on this one. They're the Kings.
All right, then I'll just say this real quick. He's the second Kings player in franchise history with 80 points, 65% field goal shooting in a two-game span, joining Oscar Robertson, who did it twice in 1965 and 69. He's currently averaging over his last five games 32.6, 60 field goal percent field goal per shooting, and he's averaging his career high in assists. On March 25th, he had 44 points, 7 assists, 3 steals, 16 to 22, 9 to 10 from the free throw line. Kings are on a four-game win streak, 11th in the West, in my opinion, clearly and only because of De'Aaron Fox, who I think is a star in this league.
Right behind the Warriors too. He's been missing Steph for a while. I think they're trying to bring him back tonight because they've lost four straight.
Yep.
Yeah. Kings could sneak into the play-in.
OKC Thunder are finally tanking like I want them to tank. Keep it moving. Hit the brakes, boys.
Hit the brakes for a second. This is like the most blatant tanking I've ever seen, and I'll be shocked if they don't get fined. Not trading him, not buying him out. They've been resting him every other game throughout the season and then just being like, we're just going to sit him the rest of the season.
Like, Rich is certainly referring to now how Al Horford getting shut down for the remainder of the season by OKC, who will not be playing in any more games. Lou Dort is in concussion protocol. Who knows how long that'll take for him to get out, even though his contract will be guaranteed for the next two seasons. And by the way, they've given away all veterans. They've stacked up the picks. And they pretty much said, we're not trying to win games here. But to me, it's a little too late when you're looking at the T-Wolves, 11-35, and the Rockets, 13-32. On a two-game losing streak, the Thunder are still 19-26. I mean, that's ridiculous to me, bro. Like, we've been tanking from the beginning of this season, and that's our record above teams that are, in my opinion, trying to win more than we should. And now here we are tanking midway through the season, shutting our players down now when you could have just traded him at the deadline for players. As an OKC fan, man, this is being tough. This has been tough to still support some of this stuff. As much picks as we have, Rich, I don't give a fuck. I want my team to be good quicker than 5 years from now. And you say it might turn around quicker three. I don't want to fucking hear that. Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question. How do you propose making a team good right away without getting draft picks when you're not in a big market? Like, the Thunder can't just go sign Giannis.
Yeah, Rich. But at least if you're doing what we're doing, which we've pretty much said here on the podcast, they're doing the whole process in Philadelphia. At least they were losing games. Bro, they were losing to get a better pick when you're – I'm just reading off the stats there.
You have 37 first-round picks, and the team is trying to tank and winning games in a tough Western Conference. That is incredible.
Yeah,
and
but dude,
so many other teams pick. Dude,
that's fine. But here's my thing, Rich. You're not getting good value at these picks unless you're getting a top five pick. That's just the way I feel. Okay, I don't care how many fucking picks you have.
They're trying to do that. They're going you better have, now.
We'll see. All right. Keep it moving, hit the brakes. The Wizards can make the play-in tournament.
I mean, they could. All right. I don't think they're going
to. We'll botch it. 16-28, 13th seed in the East, 3 games out of the 10th seed. Just want to mention, I've been hitting the wrong buttons all freaking day. This is a debacle, but this has been fun. Let me just say this about my guy Russ real quick. He went 0-8 from the floor and had 6 fouls in the second half Friday night. He's the first player across the past 25 seasons to go 0-8 or worse from the floor and have 6 personal fouls in any half. The next game, he had 19-19-10. He's currently averaging a triple-double on the season. And by the way, he's quietly doing it because, as I mentioned, they're 13th in the East. That is fucking embarrassing. That is fucking embarrassing. This man is averaging a triple-double. 21.4 points per game, 10 rebounds per game, 10.2 assists per game. It's his fourth season averaging a triple-double. The rest of NBA history has a combined 1. Let that sink in for just 1 second. And then come back at me. How is this team not at least in the play-in tournament in the Eastern Conference? It's disgusting to me. Hopefully they get right. If they don't make the play-in tournament, I'm jumping off. Russ is selling. Russ is selling. No, get out of the league. My brother's right. Retire. Like, get him out of here. Like, what is
you are.
What are we doing?
So ignorant.
Cannot believe this shit.
The team is terrible. The team is terrible. People say, like, not people. People say, rightfully so, like, the early Cavs teams, like, oh, my God, LeBron had nothing around him. This team, if you take away Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, are way worse than any of those teams. And, like, granted, there's two of them, a Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, not just LeBron James, but they're just there's not much you can do when you have no your two best players aren't great defenders, and then there's no great defenders on the rest of the roster. They just traded for Daniel Gafford, who might be their best defender now. He wasn't even getting minutes on the Bulls, who are a terrible defensive team. Like, their team is really bad. Rui Hachimura is okay, but not as good as people would want it to be. Thomas Bryant got hurt in the beginning of the year. The team's terrible. If you take off, like, the two stars on any team, on every team throughout the league, this is the worst team in the league. This is a bad team after those two. You'd like to see them contribute to more wins, but there's only so much you could do with an absolutely awful team.
I need to bring something so I could write so I know what these buttons are, because I just literally forget every time. All right, so I got a few more, boys. I'm going to go through just all the ones I have on my phone real quick. Here's a couple funny ones I had. Did you guys see this 285-pound, 5'5" kicker that made a game-winning kick?
Yes, I'm on your Instagram.
Keep it moving or hit the brakes on this one, boys.
Hit the brakes.
Wrong one again. Okay, yeah. Middle is for hit the brakes. Yep, gonna have to save that. Yesterday, Arizona Christian kicker Nestor Higuera, 5'5", 285, delivered a game-winning kick against SAGU to deliver the Firestorm a SAC championship. Let's get after it, bro, for the brand, for Pat McAfee. Oh, my God. I saw him spill a drink on his computer. That's actually, like, a really hilarious podcast that I don't catch enough.
As a Kiwi kicker who hit a game-winning kick myself, I congratulate you, Nestor. That is incredible, my friend. No, that was great to see.
Love to see
it. Just goes to show, you know, you see Sarah Fuller kick too. Anyone can kick if you have a strong leg, so it's good to see people get opportunities. I'm happy for him. It's great.
Respect. Rich, any comment on the big boy kicking it through the upright, or no? You're just like, yeah, whatever, keep it moving. Sounds good. We'll do it.
Good for him.
Little some Knicks news for you, Rich. You want to hit the bricks or keep it moving?
What, on Mitchell Robinson being out for the year?
Ooh, that's Rich coming in with the smats bomb, not the way we like to hear it. That's a good one. But I also saw that Knicks assistant Mike Woodson is finalizing a 6-year contract to become the coach at alma mater Indiana. Sources tell ESPN, formal announcement expected today, I believe. Woodson played for Bob Knight 1976 through 80. Expect him to take some clientele away from the Knicks organization in terms of at least trying to assemble a staff, what he's trying to do. So not really great news in terms of the Knicks. I'm sure we'll catch up on that at a different time. Go ahead, Rich.
I'll hit a 15-second hit the brakes. I mean, I love Woody. He was a great coach for the Knicks during their best years recently with Melo in 2012, 2013 years. And then never really got a fair shake at a coaching gig again. He wasn't even their lead assistant right now. He was just one of their assistant coaches. Like, maybe a person or two will come with him. But, I mean, as much as I wasn't sure about the Tibbs hire at the start, I think a lot of what's going on is due to Tibbs and the guys he's brought in. So I am delighted for Woody that he got the head coaching job of the Hoosiers. Love Mike Woodson, but I don't think it'll affect the Knicks. Certainly not as bad as Mitchell Robinson breaking his foot or fracturing his foot. I forget what it was. Fracturing something in his leg.
Yeah. Draymond Green. Keep it moving and hit the brakes.
Keep it moving.
Gotta give me more information than that.
Maybe we'll get into it tomorrow, Rich. I'll save the screenshot for tomorrow. Sammy Watkins to the Ravens. Keep it moving and hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Yeah, we can talk it.
I think this is a real big move. Like, Lamar Jackson needs weapons, right? Sammy Watkins, 1-year deal, proven deal, with everything the NFL is going to have to offer, with these big-time contracts in a couple years, with this new NFL TV deals, whatever the hell it is. I think this is a great move for the Baltimore Ravens. If Sammy Watkins can stay healthy with Mark Andrews, Mark the Shark Andrews, Marquise Brown, Sammy Watkins, obviously, what they got at running back with Dobbins taking over. Lamar Jackson's the real deal and obviously needed a couple more weapons. This is dangerous, I think. Go ahead, Chu.
Yeah, I don't think it's as big of a move as people think it is. It's not the Sammy Watkins who came out his rookie year. This is a guy who's missed 23 of the games in the last 5 years. He's been injured consistently. He usually has one game where he drops about 10 to 11 catches, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then maybe catches 6 balls for the rest of the year. So I don't think it's a huge move for them, honestly.
True. That'd be interesting.
Seems like the guy you sign when you missed out on a few other people and you go, he's the best one left and we really need a wide receiver. Like, if he's healthy, it can only help him based on what they've had in the past, like a tough wide receiving core. But I don't. He's never really healthy. I just Googled his age after we did this. I honestly thought he was like 30, 31 years old. He's only 27, but I don't know. It can only help if he's healthy, but I doubt he's going to be healthy in there all year and really impacting the team that much.
Tampa Bay Bucks, keep it moving and hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Smat says hit the brakes. I hit the wrong button. Let me give you a stat, Rich. Let me try and find it. But I have it without even finding it, which hopefully I can still find it. But here it is. 22 starters, Rich, returning to the Tampa Bay Bucks. With Leonard Fournette re-signing this past week, they will become the first team in salary cap era since 1994, that's when I was born, to bring back all 22 starters from the Super Bowl victory per Elias Sports. Now, I did a podcast this past week, Friday, I think, or maybe Saturday, I don't even know, I lose track of time. Time goes by way too quick, it's ridiculous. I did a little solo burst, in which I said, hey man, there's only a few more guys away than them bringing everybody back. And if they do, I did not expect this, but if they do, Zippo excuses. Zero excuses. I want to keep that same energy when they don't win, because here's the thing, man. Y'all sat right here. Hold on a second. Y'all sat right here. Let me finish this off. And told me that second year of this debacle that was going on in Tampa Bay would be better than the first. And in the first, they won the Super Bowl. And now, hold on, they're bringing back all 22 starters after winning the Super Bowl. If they don't win the Super Bowl this year, I think it's total failure. Total failure.
You're such an idiot. Oh, my God. I love how you get seven words. All right. First off, stop putting words in our mouth. We didn't say that. We said it would be very good for them if they brought it back. But let's talk about it.
No. You told me that second year of this, with Tom Brady being in the system, blah, blah, would be better than the first. And in the first, they won the Super Bowl. So now you're telling me.
I was talking regular season.
Yeah, but are you be the favorite? All the things bringing back all these guys. Mm-hmm. You're telling me that if they don't win now, it's not a failure, and it's not put on Tom Brady's head.
They'll view it as a failure. No, the dude has the most rings in the history of the game. I think let's talk about it. All right, these guys got a taste of winning when they went to that organization. You know, everyone was brought in. Everyone's bought into this culture, which is a great sign to try to repeat. The odds of them repeating, let's be real, are. Yes, they're favorites maybe, but it's probably not going to happen. The last time a team repeated was 2003-2004.
Okay, so hold on. That's why I'm pissed, though. Because they win a Super Bowl, and now they're favorites to win the Super Bowl, and if they don't win this year, it'll be, oh, well, they won one. It won't be the fact that they were favorites going in, have all these weapons returning, have this incredible defense, have literally everything, right? Super team in the NFL. I mean, so let's be realistic. They won 9 straight games to win a Super Bowl, first in every category.
Yeah.
So what else is there? Why wouldn't they win if they're not the best?
Wait. If you're saying this about this team, are you saying the same thing about what the Chiefs just did? Because they were expected to repeat. They were expected to win it again.
And they literally lost because they're in the Super Bowl. They got there.
Yeah.
So if they don't get there, okay. If they don't get there, is it not just as bad as a failure?
If they don't make it to the Super Bowl, yes, I will say that.
Okay.
I think, it's all in to make the Super Bowl, and obviously you want to win it again.
Rich, what's good?
Losing the Super Bowl,
why are you saying they're favorites? Who are they favorites, according to?
Everybody. Go watch anything on the Bucks right now. Okay. And listen to this, Rich. I just want to
look at when you're talking about favorites is Vegas betting odds, and they are the third favorites after the Chiefs and the Packers, which makes sense because they were probably considered the third favorites after the Chiefs and the Packers even last year in the postseason if it wasn't for injuries and COVID stuff from both of those teams. So I don't think they're the favorites. I don't see how I could say it's a failure if they win, if they don't win. It's a failure for every team if they don't win in some sense. But, like, you can't say after, like, they just won a Super Bowl if you don't win the next one, like, oh, it's a total failure. Like, they're going to view it as that. Tom Brady will view the season as a failure. But, like, you can't bash him for that. Only one team wins out of everyone. Like, if you make the Super Bowl, that's still a good year. They want to win the Super Bowl, but it's not a hit on anyone's legacy. It's not a, oh my God, what a terrible year they fucked it up if they, like, make a Super Bowl and lose. Or even to me, if they lose, like, in the NFC conference game. So, I don't know. We'll see going in, but I think the Packers are probably, like the Vegas odds say, the Packers probably have better odds. Chiefs probably have better odds. Ravens aren't far behind them. I'd put the Bucks above the Ravens, but I can't call it a failure for them if I think at the very least the Chiefs are the team with the better odds to win the Super Bowl anyway.
Yeah, see, this is where I get mad about this, because if they win and they make the playoffs and they make a playoff run, and regardless of really how Tom Brady's playing, it's incredible. But when they have all the incredible stuff and they're running it back, and this is supposed to be, we're going to be a Super Bowl worthy team. If that doesn't happen, what do we hear? Oh, well, I mean, what is going to be the excuse, Rich,
that's
if they don't?
That's how it works for every team in every sport, though.
It's not, though, Rich. There is not, you don't go into a season and say, oh, this team right here is a two or three team locked to make the Super Bowl. That does not happen in every sport.
I got to say this. So let's say all 22, they make a good run, they make the Super Bowl, everyone's healthy in the Super Bowl, and they don't show up and they lose the Super Bowl, yes, that's definitely a huge failure. But if they get injuries or COVID stuff, whatever, like has happened to other teams, then there's always going to be the excuse. You look at the Chiefs, they played without an offensive line.
Take that out of the equation, bro. Take the injuries and COVID out of the equation, because I don't want that to happen to the team. Like, I don't want that to happen.
No, but it is a part of the game.
Sure, but I think it'll be cleaned up a little bit more by then, regardless.
COVID, yes. Injuries, no. Injuries will always
obviously not. But I'm saying, my point is taking that out of it, because you can look at that in the NBA right now. Taking that out of it, injuries, if the team's healthy and they don't make the Super Bowl or they don't do well in the playoffs, that's not a failure?
Let me
clarify real quick. You're right about that. Like, if it's for like the NBA, the season is a failure for the Bucks, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Nets, all of them, to them, if they don't win the NBA championship. Same goes for the Bucks, the Packers, the Chiefs. So, like, you're right about that. The season is a failure if they don't win the Super Bowl this year. But where I disagree is acting like it's ridiculous for them if they don't, because in terms of, like, if we're realistically looking at it, they have better odds of not winning the Super Bowl than they do winning it. So
yes,
it's still incredible if they win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
You can't just ask like it's like, oh, they should win the Super Bowl.
Listen, pals, this is why I love bringing you around, because I couldn't agree with you guys more. But all I'm asking you guys is, if Tom Brady doesn't get his team to the Super Bowl, or at least have a chance to win another Super Bowl, is it not a then knock on him, is my point.
No.
I don't think so.
All the pieces are there. Everything. Everything's there. You return everything.
I feel like we
you got
need
the
more
coach.
Information than that. Does the defense show up and he goes out and like has three interceptions and blows a game? Then like, yeah, I guess that's on him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not just gonna say like if they don't win a Super Bowl, it's Tom Brady's fault.
Yeah,
like,
see, this is why I just get this inner smile, because think about whatever. I don't have time to sit here and talk about this all day, because I could. But I think it is. I think it's hilarious. I really do, because you know, you go from, like I said, the highs when they're doing well. But if they're not doing well, it's oh, well, it doesn't matter because he's still got seven rings. Well, what do you mean it doesn't matter? Like, he has everything. You got the coaching staff back. You're a lock as a number two favorite in the NFC. I don't want to hear if he doesn't go out there and perform then, in which my opinion last year wasn't playing well. They still won a Super Bowl on the backs of defense and rushing. So if that doesn't happen this year, oh, damn, the defense and rushing wasn't good. It's not that he wasn't good. That is why I get livid, bro, because y'all aren't understanding me. Go ahead.
I do agree with you, and something you've been saying for a while since we started this is like it will come to an end soon. And he's testing his luck coming back out here, and you always want to ride off into the sunset champion. You know, you look at Peyton Manning.
Yep.
He had the opportunity to do it this year. John Elway is another one. He's testing his luck certainly over and over again, but if, you know, he's proved us wrong every single time. So we'll have to see how it goes. But like Rich said, if he goes out and absolutely botches it in the Super Bowl or a playoff game, or like what we thought was going to be the end of New England, his last throw is a pick six. It's, you know, it might leave a stain for a while, but then once the paint dries and we look at it down the road, people aren't going to remember that.
I just want to clarify it with this last thing. There are many teams, like I said, who it is championship or bust for the team, but I think it's super unfair for us, with some exceptions, as fans, to say it's like championship or bust for that player or that team. The exceptions being maybe a guy like Giannis, you could say it's championship or bust, like multiple MVPs, hasn't been able to get his team far, like, or at least it's like finals or bust. But a guy like Tom Brady, I'm never going to be like, oh, it's championship or bust for them. Like, he needs to, like, it's like he's shown us literally everything he could show us. Like, I'm not going to knock him if he makes like the NFC championship game and loses there. Like, it is what it is. Obviously, context matters and how it happens, but I think it's ridiculous to bash it ahead of time for that.
Yep, and that's where, and I agree with you 100%, Rich, but I also then get very mad, and I listen to a lot of sports talk, and when I hear a lot about Tom Brady, I feel like context gets left out a lot of time, and that's where it's not good for me. All right. So, I think I covered pretty much everything I had, unless we have any more funny ones, and I'm going to touch on a little bit of baseball with you on the way out. Rich, you said hopefully maybe around tomorrow, so we'll catch up on a couple topics. Go ahead, Chu.
Yeah, I just have one thing. Before, I was getting ready for my fantasy baseball draft last night, and I had, I think, TNT or TBS on still from the Madness games.
Yep.
And the Uncle Drew movie was on, and I caught second half of it. Have you guys seen that?
Nah.
No.
It was really good. You remember the YouTube clips and commercials and stuff? Yeah, no, it was really good, and like Shaq's in it, and Lisa Leslie, Reggie Miller. Yep. There's a bunch of them, and it was really good. I enjoyed it.
Nate Robinson's in it, I think.
I think so, yeah. I only caught the back half of it, so like there were some guys who got like injured and stuff and whatnot, and they had to bring other people in, but it was good. It was fun. I really enjoyed it, and I think you guys would like it.
Nice.
Smats with a nice movie show drop. I don't even know, but giving you a nice input. Rich, let's see. Yeah, I'll have a few things for the slate if you're around tomorrow. I still got some of so let me know. I'll link up with you.
Touch on some NBA stuff. I don't know. Looking a little scary for the Knicks with the Bulls boosting up, Mitchell Robinson getting hurt. Like, I'm not saying they're going to fall out, but definitely another team that could only get better now that they got Vooch there. So we could hit on some of that tomorrow.
Yep. Should be good. LaMelo not being there. Tough one for the Hornets the other day. So they could fall out as well. I think the Knicks there will be all right.
I just got a quick nugget before Rich leaves for a birthday, because we'll have him later. But this one, I feel like it's just special. Got a shout out, Walt Frazier from our New York Knicks.
Nice.
So I'll have some more.
Sliding and gliding, moving and grooving.
Mm-hmm. Moving and grooving.
Swishing and dishing.
That man knows how to dress.
All right, Rich, we'll link up soon. Go Google Evan Fournier. I'll talk to you. Hopefully we'll catch up tomorrow.
No, sir. Peace, boys.
All right, peace, brother. Hey, Smats, just before we clip off the pod, I just need to throw this in as a little bit of thing that I had, and then for you, MLB opening day this week, Thursday. Great time for you. It's crazy because time really rips by. We were doing a few pods and talking, obviously, baseball leading up to the season. Now it's here, bro, this week. And this is the one thing I love about doing this, because we get to link up every once in a while and talk on it. Mm-hmm. But also, I've had, the easiest way to put this is, you know, I've been liking the pod, and it's been something I've been doing, but I've had so much more time to do it, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to go visit my grandparents a ton. Mm-hmm. I used to go visit my neighbor. I used to go do things a lot more than I do now. So on my day off, bro, I'm literally just posted for the entire day, just waiting to get the pod in, waiting for you to be able to come through, waiting for Rich to wake up, whatever, you know, doing whatever it is. And what that has taught me is I've learned to appreciate other things about sports because I'm covering more sports.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying I'm going to be as into baseball as you, because that'll never be a thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But
I'm looking forward to opening day.
Yeah. No,
I think the Mets are playing on opening day, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of teams are playing.
7 o'clock on ESPN.
It's ESPN is botted, yeah. So.
Yeah, it's unfortunate I don't get to watch my broadcasters, but that's, you know, I could talk about them forever.
Whatever, but I'll be watching that. Like, I'll be trying to see that.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be good. And then just as I've been covering a little more baseball, like, I've been seeing, like, the White Sox, they have their best team. We talked about Tony La Russa on the pod.
Yep.
But the White Sox, they have their best constructed team.
Yeah, they just literally had a huge injury.
I saw that. I covered that. But, like, you get what I'm saying? Yeah. They have, like, one of the best constructed teams they've had since, I think it was 2005, and they won the World Series.
Yeah, that team, how they won the World
Series. Obviously, we covered the Dodgers and all these loaded-up teams, but I think the Mets are in that conversation. So, just starting out, like, this is where it's tough for me. And we covered this for about 25 minutes one day on the pod. Opening day. I'll check it out, tune in. You're telling me I have to wait for another 161 more games until I actually get to see postseason baseball? And when I put it into perspective like that, even though how fast time goes by, and I put that into that sport, with all the things that kind of surround that sport, with all the things I've kind of seen coming out of that sport, I just wish that they would just trim that a little bit. I really do, especially after what we saw last season with a 60-gamer. I really do wish they do. And it's really interesting because that whole lead-in, sorry, I took a little while.
I saw
that they're doctoring baseballs. I saw that they got more stuff in the dugout, spying on the dugout and in the clubhouse. Baseball is trying to do more. Also, using data to see what's if the pitchers are cheating. All these things mm-hmm. that I think are not good for your sport, man. When you're trying to have numbers control your sport, not good. But at the same time, they're at least trying to cut back on what the so-called cheating is. My knock on the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Purists, in my opinion, in this sport are dead, including yourself, because not only the whole baseball going back forever, because it does, but if that's the case, and they've been cheating like this, a lot of people have, like we've talked about it, bro, then how, what does it matter if you change something up? What does it matter when you're now using data to see if people are cheating? When you're now checking in the dugouts to see if people are cheating? Aren't you, you're trying to clean up your sport. Why not try and make it a little more appealing by cutting the games, which I think is something that turns people away with the length of the season. That's just, do you kind of get where I'm coming from with that?
Yeah.
I saw this whole week leading up to MLB opening day or 2 weeks, them doctoring the baseballs. Like all the things I just mentioned, the dugout thing, the whatever, like the injury, whatever it is. Like it's, to me, they're talking more about that. MLB leads into that rather mm-hmm. than the games, rather than the players. Like I don't hear much about Mike Trout. You tell me he's the best baseball player of all time. Like, when I hear baseball on any of the shit I listen to, it's bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad publicity.
Yeah.
So, it's good to see them trying to clean it up a little bit. But I'd also say, like, bro, where's the fine line here for guys like me that are trying to kind of get back into it? And then I see this shit, bro. Like, that was my question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so,
I know it's a lot
of stuff to touch on.
Baseball's been a lot over the past couple weeks since I've
even last year. Yeah, the scandals and stuff when we first started with the Houston Astros. Like, you know, they're still going to be getting booed heavily when they come back. But got a bunch of stuff I want to touch on. First off, opening day, and you know this. I'm ecstatic to hear you're getting excited for opening day and stuff. There's something special about opening day, and it's not just exclusive to baseball. It's all sports. It's the optimism of a fresh season.
Yeah.
A new start. You know, getting to watch your team, ride with your guys, enjoy it, and it's always so fun.
Absolutely.
And you love it. You've been missing it for a while, and it's back. So I love opening day. Have always loved it. It's one of my favorite days. And I totally understand what you're saying. As someone who doesn't watch a lot of baseball and saying, like, oh, like, the season's so long and stuff, I do get that, but it does seem like it's crazy for me. I feel like the season still flies by with 162 games, and I know I watch a lot of baseball, and I'm always into it, paying attention like you did in the NFL and NBA. But I do get it. I don't have an answer for that. I know we've talked about that. But as far as the other things you mentioned, like the doctoring, the baseball, stuff like that, I think this is actually great, okay? And I've been thinking about it. The reason why baseball has gotten kind of boring, like people love seeing home runs, but the game has literally become, they call it the three true outcomes of baseball. You're either going to strike out, you're going to walk, or you're going to hit a home run.
Yeah.
And that's all we see now. And you remember when we used to play, and I love baseball. I love, you know, watching all baseball.
Yeah.
But I think a game is a lot more fun when you have guys who make contact. You know, they're not trying to hit
stealing
a home run
bases,
every time. Stealing bases fast, playing great
moves.
Defense,
yeah.
hitting the ball in the gaps, you know.
That's what I played
hit and
baseball.
Run, exactly.
And
that's more fun. And that's what they're trying to do with this. The ball's got, obviously, they juiced the baseballs. They wanted to see more home runs, but it got blown out of proportion so big. And everyone with the analytics, launch angle, all this, spin rates, all this, they're trying to bring it, scale it down in a sense a little bit. They want to bring baseball back to what it really is. It's not home run all the time. Yes, you're more likely to win games when you hit more home runs than the other team because you're scoring a run on the play, but they're trying to bring some excitement back into it, make it a little bit more fun. No one wants to sit there. I mean, I'll watch a game,
hold
but like
on,
watching
let
a
me,
guy get
let me
18
say this
strikeouts.
Though, coming back at you with that, which is isn't that admitting that they did something to get the home runs going?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
no,
why are they doing that? So, like, they're manipulating the sport so much, all these things, but then they're saying they're not. Like, that's, to me, not a good thing.
Well, it's just like...
Heading back to your... You think the season is short because you,
no,
you know,
no,
you're
no,
big...
No, 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 not short. Don't get
because
me wrong.
Because you're a big baseball guy.
It goes
whatever.
By fast. It's whatever. Not short. It's a long season.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I think it's tough. 1 or 2 weeks into an NBA season. Yeah, it's still far out from the playoffs, but we can talk about the standings and it be somewhat relevant. 2 weeks or 3 weeks into an NFL season, you're talking, and I get it, they're probably going to expand to 17. Still a quarter of the season. Bro, a week or two into the MLB season, they play like 4 or 5 games. Mm-hmm. Or maybe like like 10 games.
Sad,
but like, you get what I'm saying?
2 weeks in a season? Don't take the first 2 weeks of the season because they always give extra gap days at the beginning of the season. There's always a couple because they want to get certain games on TV. But once it really winds up, they're playing 13 games every 2 weeks. You know, they get one off day every 2 weeks. So they're playing a lot of baseball. It does catch up the standings quick. But with such a long season, if you have a hot month, you go 20-10. You can boost yourself so well. I guess it would be the equivalent. How many games does an average team play for the NBA in a month?
Yeah, but...
Because think about football. You go 4-0 or 3-1 in a week.
It's compacted right now. The NBA is tough. The MLB was compacted last season.
In a minute.
I'm then asking, do they normally play 6 games a week?
Yeah.
Like, they literally play one off day.
Yeah, 5 or 6 games a week. So, except you have rain delays and stuff, too. But then you start doing doubleheaders and whatnot.
Do a normal 162-game season.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, to me, I thought they were doing more of that because of the COVID. But, like,
no,
do you get
let
what...
Me, let me... That I makes... believe it's 162 games in either 180 days or 188 days. That's what it is. So they obviously pack them in. They're playing every single day. You know that. You know, they get a couple off days a month.
Yeah.
Like three.
So, I guess in that... Well, so
when you view it like
regard,
that, it changes your opinion a little bit, or
it
the
does.
Viewpoint, but I still know what you're saying.
But it gets back into how I open up the pod with the NFL, which is you add one game in the NFL, you got players popping off half the league.
Because
think about how much, and I get it, baseball and football can't be compared to physical, but you got a guy, like the guy for the White Sox, he goes out for 5-6 months, he can still technically play for the White Sox. Like, he's going to be returning this season. In any other sport, 5-6 month injury, bro, you're done for the year. So it is this only sport where you could have a season-ending injury and technically make it back because of the length of the season if it happens right in the beginning of the season, which, coincidentally enough, happened for this dude. It is kind of wild because of the setup. And I just also just, I don't know why, but I just harp back to last season. Like, because I just never thought the MLB would be able to get through a season with how COVID was. But the fact that they did, I think, was incredible. 60 games, to me, was short. Like, they could have done more.
Mm-hmm.
But they decided to only do that and barely got through it. But you have to give them... Like, do you know what I'm saying? So, like, why... Like, they decided on 60. And now they're going... Oh, they're adding 102 more games.
Going back to normal, yeah.
Yeah. Where, like, it was like that.
Well,
you know,
I think with this year... At least I would like for it to get back to 162 games. But I think the jump from 60 to 162 is something that's going to be a very interesting thing this year, especially for pitchers. Because think about these guys who maybe threw 50, 60 innings last year.
Yeah.
And now you're going to ask them to jump to 200.
Yeah.
Some guys are going to be able to do that no problem. The, you know, the Max Scherzers, the hopefully a Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, but even
you know,
the wear and tear on
exactly.
stars like that, they can have an injury at
any
time,
exactly,
bro.
Exactly, yeah. You never
and
know
what And that's
happen,
my whole
so.
Point. Not that I don't want to watch another game of football, but that could be an other damn injury in the middle of the year that you don't really think about with that one extra game that adds
exactly.
on that we could miss.
Mm-hmm.
With that many games in baseball, bro, like if a dude, I've asked you this on the pod too. If your best player goes down first game with a 2 or 3 month injury, that blows your season. Like, it literally ruins such a long season for like such a good player being down. Like Mike Trout, he gets hurt in the first game for a 3 month injury. Are the Angels making the playoffs?
Well, that's,
do you get what I'm saying, though?
Well,
it blows
up
a
whole 162. He's only made the playoffs once in his 10-year career, so that's why it's tough.
Yeah.
But no, because baseball is the most individualized sport in a team setting. So, yes, you have a guy go down. It could be catastrophic. But you could also have a no-name 26-year-old that no one's ever heard of come up and have a hot 2 months to replace him, and then he comes back.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's interesting about it. You know, all these other sports, football, you lose, like, a stud defender, you lose your quarterback, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You lose Saquon, oh, shit, our offense is fucked now.
Absolutely.
You look at basketball,
you don't think that's a factor in baseball, though?
No, it's 100% like, a factor. I think it's less of a factor compared to other sports because it's such an individualized sport. Anyone can get hot for a 2 month span, just like we saw in the 60 game season last
year.
You had so many guys with these crazy averages and stuff, and not that these guys aren't great, but it's such a smaller sample size.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing as saying, like, in a sense, like De'Aaron Fox was going off. He put up 80 points in two games. Like, you know, it's a smaller sample size. He's still unbelievable with what he did, but you have to extrapolate it compared to what we're used to.
Oh, wow. I did see this morning that the Giants were meeting with Danny Shelton, who had 12 starts with the Lions last season. They just signed him on a 1 year.
All right. Oh, yeah. I would like to talk
about the no-fly
zone. Just kidding. It's not the no-fly zone anymore, but I am so happy with what Denver's done. I know we touched on it a little bit.
Yeah, incredible.
Bringing back Kareem Jackson was something that I was hoping they would do. They ended up bringing him back. I mean, I'm so excited for that secondary. You got Vaughn.
Yeah.
And you got Bradley Chubb on the outside. You got Shelby Harris, who's a beast in
the
middle.
See, this is why I didn't bring this up, though, because I do think this is funny now. I got into it with Duke last time he was here over the Giants Eagles. We'll talk again, but whatever. The reason why I think it's funny and I can get into it with you, and you still respect where I'm coming from, I think the Giants and the Eagles are like almost identical this season with the setup now. And we talked about it going back into last season. It kind of played out that way. We had a couple injuries on both key players, and it kind of warped our season to a point where it kind of ended up being a wash, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Tough. Like, just, it's a washy season. Like, Duke can tell me it wasn't good football all I want. Like, I saw some good things from my football team. So, my point is, we add a bunch of pieces. The Giants. The Broncos. They bring their guys back, add some pieces. I mean, the cream of the crop on the offense side of the ball. Defense is stacked. Similar to what I think the Giants are doing. It's all on the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally all on the quarterback. I've been hearing so much talk on New York Giants, finally. But it's all on Daniel Jones. I saw John Mara come out and say something. It's all on Drew Lock, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally all on Drew Lock.
And I've said that, and this is my
thing. Yeah, and this is my thing. And I said this to you last time you were here. I've never been completely sold on Jones, but I'm more sold on Jones than Lock.
Mm-hmm.
Is it tougher for the Giants to bring in a guy to compete or to take over Jones's job this season? Absolutely. Like, it wouldn't even be a thing. Like, but do I think that should be something that the Broncos, that I saw them considering? And I thought they brought in, like, a veteran maybe, but Fitzmagic, but he decided that he was going to retire, but then he signed with Washington
because
he probably didn't want to be in a quarterback competition. My point is, are they sold? Like, I seen Jalen Hurts getting talks on him. They're not sold on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the Giants in their organization maybe being just optimistic for Daniel Jones' sake, but I like that. I'd rather be on that end and, okay, this is a prove a year for this dude. Like, we're not connected to this man long term, no big money. If this year, in my opinion, I've been on the record, if he doesn't perform, he's done. Like, he's donezo. Like, he shouldn't get another year. Like, you're not going to pay this dude money. Like, he's not going to be afraid. But he could very easily go out there, progress a lot of the things he did this season, and win some more games with some of these pieces around him, better defense, second year Joe Judge. And, yeah, maybe then the Giants are sold on that. But that's big shoes to fill in a prove-it season. Can Drew Lock do that? Can Drew Lock do that? Can Daniel Jones even do that? I don't know. That's where it's the scariest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Deshaun Watson didn't have all this fucking bullshit going on, I told my brother a million times, if we had all this roster with Deshaun Watson, you fucking kidding me? If Deshaun Watson joins the Broncos, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, it's elite. It's elite. The only reason you question our football team is because of the quarterback position. And that, to me, is so interesting.
Yep.
For both of our teams. Mm-hmm. Like, and they were drafted in the same draft. So on the same type of rookie deals, fifth year option style, teams looking at him at the same exact time. They could be getting signed or cut at the same exact time.
Yep.
And I think it's something that's going to be big for you as a fan this season to really have to be in or out on this guy Lock sooner rather than later. Like, a couple games in, bro, if he's looking like he was last year, just like I said, if Jones is turning the ball over and not looking good, even a couple games in, that's not going to be good for me. Like that, I don't care if we can turn it around. I'm looking for consistency throughout the season in a more progression.
Mm-hmm.
Like not turning the ball over.
Yeah.
Not fucking making mental midget mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Drew Lock struggle with that, and I just don't know if he's going to be the guy. And I hear a lot of people saying, I hear a lot of people saying that.
Absolutely. I also think a lot of people just haven't watched enough of the tape, truly. I've watched some Daniel Jones tape. I need to watch more. This is a prove-it year for both guys. I think the pressure is certainly more on Drew Lock than it is on Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
I think Denver has a roster that's more built to win now. Your roster is looking really good, and it's making improvements on the up. And if
True.
You have that quarterback play, you can be a force just like that. But I think a little bit more is expected out of Denver with who's on their roster, who they brought
That's
in.
More pressure.
Yep, absolutely. So I think, you know, I'm a big Drew Lock guy. He's got to put the big boy pants on this year. No more diaper. Training wheels are off. He's got to go out there and do it. But
here's my thing.
All these guys, all the guys who are in the locker room and play with him and practice with him every day, everyone's high on Drew Lock.
Yeah.
Last year was a tough year for everyone, and I'm not using that as an excuse, but he needs to prove it this year, 100%. If he goes out and he's not playing well, I know they've talked about bringing in other quarterbacks, potentially drafting someone too. He's going to be there this year, but we'll have to see what happens. I've heard talks of a Minshew maybe coming to Denver for a quarterback competition, maybe a Sam Darnold type, which I'm okay with these younger guys. I want Drew Lock as the quarterback. I think he can be the quarterback of this franchise. But we'll see. If he's not doing well, then plans need to change. And we have a new GM in line now, which is nice because you have a fresh set of eyes.
Is it a
on
bold
him.
Take for me to say that the Giants have a top three secondary in the league? I don't think so. Where would you rank the Broncos secondary in the league? Top three, five? I would.
I mean, top five. I haven't looked at all the rosters.
So here's the thing.
Moves,
go, you can check it out. We'll get back at it next time. They got a top five secondary, mm-hmm. let's say.
Oh, yeah.
They got what do they got for defensive line? Top three, five? All right, we'll check it out. We'll check out the rosters.
Vaughn was injured. He's coming back. You know,
wide receiver weapons. In just specifically their division, let's put it that way. Ranking it up against the Chargers' weapons. Justin Herbert's nice, but I think you got the worst quarterback in the division, but maybe the best weapons offensively in the division.
Yeah, outside of maybe Kansas City with the tight end and Tyreek Hill on the outside.
But. Maybe an outlier, but that's a struggle
it is to be in their division. It's the Chiefs. So
my point is...
They're just up here.
I mean... The talent is, the knock is that you didn't have enough talent around Drew Lock. That's never been the case. Even heading into this year.
The knock was injuries.
So now, bro, you got no excuses.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even with injuries that are going to be a part of it, that's what I talked about,
Absolutely.
Though.
Absolutely.
Like, injuries are part of it, bro.
Yep.
So you have an injury-riven season, Broncos season, warped, washed.
Yep.
If that happens to, in the baseball, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It fucked the whole season, bro.
I do just have a cool Drew Lock stat for you. And they did start changing the offense and letting him throw the ball deeper later in the season. He had a much better last four games of the season than what he did as a whole. Obviously, his season was a down year. But he led the league in deep ball completion percentage at 16%. Aaron Rodgers was 15 and Tom Brady was 14. He's got the arm. He can make the throws. It's just, you know... Year three, he needs to have a fantastic offseason with prep. He needs to get ready. He needs to work with his guys. And I'm excited to see what happens. But if it doesn't work, I'm at the point. Year three is the make or break year for me, like we're talking about. So we'll have to see. I'm ready to give him one more run. But if it doesn't work, we have to look elsewhere.
Yeah, I completely agree. Much love for coming through, as always.
Don't you forget those birthdays, kid.
We got them.
Hit the brakes.
Got 4 minutes for that, brother. There you go.
Hit the brakes for them birthdays. All right.
I got to get that fixed.
Yeah, we got to...
That was a good style today. I just got to get those buttons fixed.
We'll just put a piece of tape and then you can write
that's
it.
That's
right
what I'm
going
to do.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, so starting off for the birthdays. Big one. Born in 1867. Baseball's all-time wins leader, and he has an award named after him. Cy Young.
Nice, brother.
Yes, sir. Let's see. Who else we got?
I did have some good recordings, but I'll have to save them for
tomorrow. I mentioned him earlier when Rich was on before he got off. Walt Frazier, born on this day in 1945.
Yep.
Let's see, we got Earl Campbell, Heisman winning running back, and just ran people over for the Houston Oilers back in the day.
That's pretty elite.
Absolutely. Billy Beane, who was a Mets prospect who never worked out. He's now the GM. He's been the GM for a while for the Oakland A's. Moneyball, played by Brad Pitt. Let's see.
Smats, the stats kid. He's my friend.
Let's see. Mets prospect that never panned out. Alex Ochoa. Actually, no. Oh, that's weird. It says American football outfielder, but then parentheses, New York Mets. I was like, there's two Alex Ochoas? No way. And let's see. Anyone else down on the bottom of the list?
Boy.
You're all important, but that's a lot of names. It looks like that might be it. So happy birthday to all of you.
A lot of birthdays, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yours is coming up. I suck at math, but I think 18 days? 16 from the first, 18, two more to the, I don't know, something like that. A couple, a little over 3 weeks.
Yeah. Something like love. That. So.
Hopefully you get your P5 before then.
If not, got a present. MLB The Show on my PS4.
Yeah, that's true. I got a present before you go. Okay, not a P5, unfortunately. Much love for coming through, talking some sports. Much love to Rich coming through, talking some sports. Looking forward to maybe doing a little bit of a session with him tomorrow before I head back to work for the week, and I'll be covering sports and hopefully be back a week from now. Saturday, I'm doing my giveaway, so stay tuned for the details on that. Saturday, I'm going to be going to New York. I don't know if you're are you back to work?
I might be working then. I'm not sure.
I'm
going
down to celebrate Shane Opener Warehouse. I told her I'd be there.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's having some people, and she invited me, so getting that Rex going for a little trip. Got the day off, so normally I'd come in for a Saturday special, but won't be able to this week. So I'll try and get in tomorrow with Rich, and then you won't hear from me probably for a week. That's all I had for the AOAFs today. I appreciate y'all listening, as always. As always, still had no shame what I had to say. It's the man with a nickname. Till next time, everybody, peace and love. Stay safe out there. Houston is the Seggy Station.
Take care, people. Treat people the way you want to be treated.
Smat says it best.